One guy I didn't get to see, though I talked to on the telephone and we'll talk to again here, was not at Pac-12 Media Days. Jerry Allen, the play-by-play voice of the Oregon Ducks, joins us right now. Missed you in Hollywood, pal. How are you?
You know, I'm good, Bill. I that's too much work. I mean, you need a vacation after what you just went through.
And you know, at this time of year, there's no vacations because it all. When do things begin for you?
They actually have already started. I've been in the office, just trying to get the freshmen. We got a whole new coaching staff. There's a lot of new things. So, yeah, what time is media interviews going to be each day? And how's the protocol for approaching coaches and players? All of that. Practice actually begins on Monday. Where our media day for our media is going to be on Sunday, and that's a different go too. Usually have media day on our first day of practice, but there's plenty to do.
Yeah, there is. I got to talk to Willie Taggart yesterday for the first time. I'm anxious to say because I don't know him at all and haven't ever been around one of his programs because he's coached mostly in the East and the Southeast. I know he had a brief stint at Stanford. I didn't know a whole lot about him. He was fun to talk to. He was all business, though, yesterday. Is that how you found him, too?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's got a light side and a fun side. I've seen him talk to booster groups, and he's very personable and you know, will, so to speak, let his hair down a little bit. But when he's around the media, he's very businesslike, and that's what he wants his team to be like that. I mean, you'll notice if you look at the media guide online this year, all the players are in coat and tie. I mean, it's a different look.
Well, we did loosen him up a little bit when we said he was the third Harbaugh brother because in many ways he's Jack's other son. He was at the weddings. I think Jim was his best man. He's a Harbaugh guy through and through. He's the third Harbaugh son, so he kind of liked that. And then I did ask him at the end of the interview, who's got it better than Willie Taggart? And he did give me the old nobody. So we did have a little bit of fun with him. He was very brief. He didn't say a whole lot about Darren Carrington. Said, you know, broke the rules. Rules are in place. Changing the culture. We made a tough decision, and that's that. So Darren's now here. He's going to practice with Utah this afternoon, Jerry. Utah's got to get the waiver from Oregon and then get the Pac-12 approval. Those are the two hurdles still. Would you anticipate Oregon holding Darren Carrington up at all because they kicked him off the team?
I wouldn't think so. I'm not involved in behind the scenes like that, but I think situations like this have occurred before, and it's kind of a routine that schools and the Pac-12 goes through. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything that would tell me that they're not going to allow him to transfer. I'll just tell you, he's a great player. I mean, he's the real deal. He's going to make a difference on that football team.
That goes without saying. We saw it first. We've seen it firsthand for a few years, but the catch that he made at the end of the game last year, and it was funny. I was talking to Justin Herbert yesterday, and Justin told me, he said, you know, you hear the term 50-50 balls, but when I'd throw them to Darren Carrington, they were 75-25 balls. They weren't 50-50 balls.
No, you know, he's one of those. Every quarterback's got a guy, although some quarterbacks will not tell you they do, but every quarterback's got a guy that when they need a completion, when they need a big play, they've got their guy. He was Herbert's guy, and when you got that confidence, you throw the ball better. So he was that kind of a player. He'll make people around him better.
What kind of a kid is he? Utah fans are curious about that. Kyle Whittingham said he talked to several friends, a couple of former staff members at Oregon that coached him and recruited him. They all said he was a good kid. You had dealings like I have dealings with the Utah players. What kind of a kid is Darren Carrington?
I think he's a good kid. I think a lot of young people make mistakes. I go back in my life when I was that age, and I'm sure I made some mistakes too, and probably nobody knew about him. Nothing really serious or critical, but it happens. But as far as his personality and the kind of person he is, he's a good kid. He's a guy that you enjoy being around, won't embarrass you, speaks well. So I hope that this is an opportunity for him that will give him a chance to refocus his life and reach those goals that he wants to get to.
Yeah, I told you this yesterday. You and I were chatting on the phone. I said sometimes, you know, kids will make multiple mistakes, but sometimes getting out of the situation, you know, you can sometimes fall back into habits when you're in the same place, but when you change your venue, you change your surroundings. Maybe that can help him, and hopefully that can help him correct some of the mistakes that he might have made over and over again up in Eugene.
Oh, yeah. I think this maturity alone, the older he gets, every month that goes by is going to give him a different perspective on life. So I have a lot of respect for Coach, a lot of respect for Utah and their program and the community. I think it'll be a good setting for him if it works out for him. And I'm hoping that he makes the most out of it. We really are.
Jerry Allen, the play-by-play voice of the Oregon Ducks, with us here on the Bill Riley Show. So what are your expectations, having been around the program for a long time and now a coaching change, a little bit of a departure? Oregon was one of those staffs that had guys on staff for a long time, and that's all changed. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's any holdovers, are there? If there are, there aren't many?
No. In fact, I'm one of the few holdovers. It's an entirely new staff, from the football administration staff all the way down, so it's going to be a completely new learn the rules under Coach Taggart. But so far, it's been very easy. He's very personable. He's easy to get along with. He's not overly demanding, and he's been easy to work with. Now, once we get into the season, we start playing games, we'll find out, how uptight he gets or how loose he stays. And we just don't know. We're going into this, with our eyes wide open and ready for anything. But from what we've seen so far, I mean, he has really gotten the fans' attention. He is so personable, so energetic and positive. He's got the fans on board in a hurry, and his team seemed to jump on board. I mean, by spring game, they were all just promoting him like he was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. So it was an odd change, Bill, to go from a staff that had been there and been family-like for, 30-some-odd years, to having them all gone and a brand-new staff come in. Or we haven't gone through this at Oregon, I don't think, ever. And so it was an adjustment, but the adjustment period's over. I think they're ready to go, and I know the fans seem to be anxious to see it too. The proof will be winning games. You got to win, otherwise it doesn't matter what you say.
Where are your biggest questions, offensively or defensively, with this team going into camp?
Well, probably it's going to be odd to say this, but at quarterback, Oregon, lost a couple of guys that were capable to be starters who transferred, and so the depth at quarterback has just gone away, and that's something Oregon's going to have to deal with. Justin Herbert is the guy, there's no doubt about it, but right now it's a true freshman, Braxton Burmeister, and he is it. Travis Johnson, transferred out, he's gone. And I think he was capable of probably starting a lot of programs, and I understand why he would want to leave. But that's a thin spot now, and that to have to depend on a true freshman. And Burmeister comes in with some pretty good numbers, 53 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, rushed for over 1,400 yards, 27 touchdowns in his career. So in high school he was the man, but it's a different level now. Now, Herbert was able to play as a true freshman last year, so Burmeister is a backup. We're hoping can do the job. Offensive line solid. They got depth. Wide receiver, with Carrington gone, Oregon doesn't have a lot of proven receivers back. And then, of course, the defense has got a lot of guys back. I think 8 starters coming back. But a lot of those guys were on this team last year, and they didn't get the job done. So the question will be, can Jim Leavitt get these guys whipped into shape and get them to believe that they can play the kind of game they need to?
It was interesting down at Pac-12 Media Days, all those interviews, there was all kinds of talk about quarterbacks. Obviously, it's a great quarterback conference this year. Very little talk, Jerry, of running backs, wide receivers, skill guys, and even with the Oregon guys, whether it was Willie, I literally had to ask about Royce Freeman with those guys. You guys might have the best running back in the conference, and nobody's talking about him. And I know he didn't have a great year last year, and he was hurt a little bit, but it just seems to me like there's not very much buzz about anybody but the quarterbacks. And at Oregon, I would think everything should start and end with Royce Freeman.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's close to 6 feet, 235 pounds. Oregon has a different look, Bill. When you talk about getting off the bus and passing the eye test, Oregon looked okay, but now they're going to look like, wow, this is a big, strong football team. They've all gained weight. They've all gained muscle and strength. They've worked on speed. This is going to be a different football team. Willie Taggart's got him in the mold that he wants. Royce Freeman is going to lead that team. He looks like he's NFL ready right now. Now, he was injured a lot. He got hurt in that Nebraska game early last year. Was never the same. The other guy they're not talking about is Charles Nelson. Charles Nelson is just a guy that he's a wide receiver, can play in the slot, can run the ball, can play defense if you need him to. Oregon's got the weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Tony Brooks-James is another guy at running back that averaged, I think, around 5.5, 6 yards a carry last year. So The Ducks at the skill position are a little thin on wide receiver, great offensive line, solid quarterback, great running backs. The offense shouldn't have trouble scoring points. It'll be the defensive side that needs to limit the points of the yards this year.
Well, we'll see what Jim Leavitt can do. They brought him in from Colorado to try and jumpstart that defense just a little bit. Give me your kind of low-end, high-end that you see for the Ducks this year from a win total. Give me what you think is kind of the low-end and what you think, if everything goes right and the Taggart magic is spread, that they might top out at.
Well, I think this team's capable of winning because of the offense and the strength of the offense and being able to score points. And a defense that brings back so many returning starters from last year. I think they're capable of winning 8 or 9 games. And that may be a stretch to a lot of fans, but Oregon really had one bad year last year, and it kind of got under the magnifying glass, and I think that was bigger. The program's still solid. That's why I think they've still got the athletes that can get it done. They got a pretty good schedule. They've got to go to Arizona State, Stanford, and they miss USC this year, which is going to help. And, of course, they got Utah in Eugene, and that'll help a bunch. But the schedule is okay. I think Oregon, you know, if they win 7 games, I think fans would be happy. They just want to get to a decent bowl game. 8 or 9 wins is not out of the question. Certainly by the end of the year, this team should be better than the beginning of the year, and they've got Washington, Arizona, Oregon State late. That Washington game is something I'm looking forward to because they're one of the premier teams in the nation this year.
If it's not going to be Washington or USC, which one of those teams do you have? They were picked, and everybody down in L.A. thought they're playing for, and I tend to agree, but if it's not going to be one of those teams, which one might not appear in the Pac-12 championship game if you're going one way or another?
Wow, it'd be tough to bet against either one of those. I just think Washington is the team to beat in the Pac-12 in the North, no doubt. I don't, you know, Stanford. I don't think Stanford is in the mix. Utah. I'm gonna say this about Utah. They worry me because of their defense. They're a team that can cause problems. And then here's the funny is Washington State, not recognized as a great powerhouse, but damn, they got one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, and they just score points. So, you know, the Pac-12 is, you know, the Pac-12.
Yep.
If you let up any week, or if you don't go in thinking that you got a problem, you're gonna get taken down. So I'm going to say in the North it's Washington, in the South it's USC, and I don't see anybody really giving them that much of a chase.
I don't either, but Nick Aliotti, who you know very well, was on with me yesterday, and he said if it's not going to be one of those two, he thinks USC has the chance to lose in the South only because of distractions, because there's so many distractions at SC in Southern California. They've dealt with those before. He said Chris Peterson does a great job of eliminating all that stuff, and it's all about business. And so he said he thinks it's going to be Washington, USC, but if one of them doesn't make it, he thinks maybe sometimes USC can get in its own way with distractions.
Well, they have in the past. I mean, they've proven that. There's no doubt about that. You'd like to say UCLA with a great quarterback, and you know great athletes is going to have a chance, but they can't seem to get out of their own way sometimes. So it's going to be fun to watch this year. I think there's 3 or 4 teams that could have a lot to say about who's going to win the North or the South or the Pac-12 championship overall. I really do.
Good chatting with you. We'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to it, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry Allen with us, play-by-play voice of the Oregon Ducks.